Can a single cell think? The biologist, Professor Brian Ford, is giving a lecture at Churchill College, Cambridge today, in which he'll argue the case for saying that a form of intelligence may well exist in places where it was once thought to be pretty well absent. He is on the line to, I hope, explain. Professor Ford, good morning.
Morning to you, Jim.
We're talking here about, I suppose, primitive forms of life, single cells. Now, what are you trying to suggest, and what has brought you to this point?
Well, the main thing I'm trying to say is that they're not as primitive as we think. I mean, you will have met amoeba, as most people did in school, as the lowliest form of animal life. But I've recently been taking videos down the microscope of the shells that some amoeba can build, where they actually pick up tiny grains of sand from the mud and will cement them together to make beautiful bell-shaped homes in which they live. Now, that has always meant that these single cells must show a certain level of ingenuity. But I'm taking it further. I am very concerned that we have so retreated into things like molecular biology and genetics that we no longer ever stop to look at what entire cells do. It's almost as though in music you were putting the notes on a score under the microscope without ever hearing the symphony.
Now,
and that, to me, is a fundamental error in modern biology.
Well, we'll talk about the way that this might be applied or where it might lead in a moment, but you do have the sound of signals that you think give a clue to what's going on. Just tell us what, for example, you have.
Well, you've got a short recording there, which is a standard recording known to many people who work with neurons, brain cells. If you culture brain cells in the lab and you pick up the electrical signals that they make a most irritating buzzing sound
at
about 40 hertz.
This is the first of a neuron spike, isn't it?
Yes,
Let's just hear it now. Right.
Oh, ghastly, ghastly noise.
Now, what was it doing?
Well, what the cells are doing is sending out little impulses. And we always believe, everybody knows this, that nerve cells are just transistors. They're a go or no-go gate, an on or off switch, a little binary code-generating system, like a tiny transistor. Now, my view is that if amoebae are clever enough to build homes for themselves, it doesn't make sense that a neuron is only sending out no or no-go signals, on or off switch signals. So what I did was to take these standard spike recordings and to stretch them out from, I mean, you just heard about half a second to say 20 seconds, and at that level you can actually hear what is going on inside each spike. Each spike is more or less the frequency of the human voice. And so for the very first time, you can actually hear the utterances that one nerve cell is making to another. And this rather haunting sound is almost like, I think, seabirds on a cliff talking to each other.
Let's hear it. So what's going on?
Well, we always tend to teach these days that thought and data processing in the brain goes on at the synapses, the junctions between brain cells. I don't believe that. I believe that thought is going on within the nerve cells. The nerve cell is the most highly evolved cell that we know, and it cannot just be switching on or off like a transistor.
So what are the implications for things like stem cells, which everybody's talking about in terms of cell research?
The stem cell, for example, viewed in my model, is seen as a human in microbe form. I don't see us, you see, as bodies divided up into cells. I see us as great communities of independent, almost free-thinking cells that come together to produce the effect that we know of as human life.
Well,
Jim, you've gone suddenly almost speechless, which I have to say is uncharacteristic for you.
Well, no, I mean, just, you know, after a description of what is the nature of life, it's a question of where you go next, really.
Well,
I think the answer is Gary Richardson,
sport.
In fact. But, but Professor Brian Ford, we know you're lecturing at Cambridge today. That really was extraordinarily interesting conversation. Thanks very much indeed.